Want my help with we there? Morning. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, we, of course, the Apostle Paul here, which is including himself in that, and I think it's Silvanus also. I'm going to go back here. No, that was in the first letter. Okay. We then. Okay, as workers together with him, so I put the word apostles over the word we, okay, because he's talking about the stewardship. And the reason why I say that, because he's going to address the saints here when he says you. Okay, we then as workers together. Okay, so I also hide the word we, you, and workers. And it shows that we're all of us are laboring at the same altar. Okay, we then as workers together with him, with Christ, okay, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Okay, so I like that word also, the grace of God in vain. That's the same thing he tells to the Galatians. Okay, in Galatians here. Morning. Okay, where he says, O foolish Galatians in chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, says, bewitch you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth crucified among you. Okay, have you suffered so many things in vain? It can be yet in vain. Okay, and that's in also Galatians 3, 1 and 3. Okay, and we can see that the grace of God, okay, can be utilized, okay, with being utilized with the aspiration, okay, will not find completion, okay, nor fruit bearing, okay, if it's used with the aspiration. So we then are workers together with him, okay, beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So we're going to highlight the word grace of God in vain. Okay, and we talked about the grace of God. Okay, and our grace wheel up there. Okay, which has to do with this form of communication. Okay, and without this form of communication, okay, faith has nothing to labor with. Okay, without this form of communication, as we see up there. Illumination, communication, revelation, illumination, enlightenment. Okay, this form of this is a form of communication he gives to us. So that you receive not the grace of God in vain, and we'll read on here and see why. Okay, for he said, I have heard you in a time accepted. Okay, the Lord said here. Now highlight the word there, because there's a mating call going forth. Okay, a mating call. Okay, for he said, I have heard you, like the mating season. We talk about that in Songs of Solomon. For he said, I've heard you as the mating season begins. I have heard you in a time accepted. Okay, in a day of salvation, okay, where faith is evident. Okay, there's and it's sealed. Okay, I also in a day of salvation have I secured you or embraced you, assisted. Okay, like catching something that would slip. Okay, you're embracing, grabbing. Okay, but not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Okay, so in a day of salvation have I assisted you, grabbed you, embraced you, okay, because you responded to this grace. Okay, as a flower sends out its fragrance, okay, it's the same thing here, that you receive not the grace of God in vain, you respond in a positive way. Okay, so you can see how faith, okay, is in play here, okay, with the grace of God. Behold, he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Okay, observe this and reflect. Observe this and reflect. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay, where there's a communication, a connection taking place here. Okay, now something is born. The Apostle Peter says the same thing as concerning being born of the Spirit and being born of truth. Okay, so we can see there's a connection, a joining, a touching, embracing. Okay, a point of contact, this altar. Okay, and it's at the altar of Christ where we receive our nourishment, okay, our fellowship, okay, and again where our relationship is being developed. Okay, a relationship is developed, okay, during a prolonged period of time of contact. Okay, a prolonged period of time of contact here. So the grace of God is finding its full cycle. Okay, the grace of God is finding its full cycle here. You're not receiving it in vain. Okay, God is communicating. Okay, like Balaam, you know, Balaam heard the voice of God. Okay, but it didn't come full cycle. Okay, so therefore it fell on deaf ears. And Balaam never molded with it. If Balaam would have molded with that grace, it would have came full cycle. He would have been saved and not been killed. Okay, when the children of Israel, found him. Okay, same thing with Cain. Okay, Cain heard the voice of the Lord. Okay, but upon hearing the voice of the Lord, he didn't let take any take root within him, and neither did he repent. Okay, but he molded with another perception. Okay, and that was Satan's counsel. Okay, as Esau also molded with Satan's counsel. And even though Esau was in a state of regret, okay, he sought to the seers, he sought to the altars, he sought to the counsel of man, but he did not seek the Lord. Okay, Esau. So though he sought it diligently, okay, and with bitter tears, okay, his repentance was never sealed because it wasn't a faith. And we have a lot of people that are altar beaters. Okay, they go to the altar, or the weepers, it's called, like the place of weepers. Okay, the altar beaters. They go there and they beat the altar, okay, and or smite the breast in repentance. Okay, but it's not in repentance of molding, it's just in regret. Okay, it's the same thing will happen after rapture. Okay, after rapture, many people will be beating their breasts in repentance, but not in repentance of, okay, in submission of grace. Okay, just in regret, okay, that they missed the boat. Okay, so behold, now is the accepted time. At the time that the grace is being issued, okay, you're responding to the scent and fragrance of the flower. Okay, you're joining yourself to God as a psalter now. Okay, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, look, he says, reflect on this. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay, this is a time of consummation. Okay, and this time of consummation is consecration. Okay, as your circumcision and your baptism, okay, are being sealed. Your circumcision and your baptism. Okay, giving no offense in anything. I thought that was really good, because giving no offense is like to push away. Okay, or also because grace loves his brother, doesn't push him away. Okay, grace loves, grace embraces. Okay, so giving no offense in anything, okay, that you're going through, you're going to go through the cycle here, that the ministry be not blamed, okay, as if to be a stillbirth, as if that the ministry be not blamed if this is a stillbirth. There's another name for that too.
Stillborn.
Okay, verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves, okay, that means all these choices, we continue to look back, okay, or we continue to look from his perspective, okay, and by this grace, and we continue to birth these things that are a good temperament. A good temperament is then born, okay, through your cycles of growth. Okay, so as you continue to, as your senses pick up this grace, then you're beholding the face of God, okay, and you're continuing to progress. Okay, at the altar, you're not abandoning or pushing it away. Not going to have a stillbirth or stillborn. Verse 4. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Okay, that because of through this reflection, okay, a temperament is born, and now we're going to read about this. Okay, we're going to read about the three R's here: revelation, resistance, and reward. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul is identifying these particular temperaments of the power of the Spirit. Okay, that the Spirit is nurturing these things, where it becomes a part of your character. Okay, a personality. I put a difference between character and personality. Okay, character has to do something of a deep root, whereas a personality is something that of a passing greeting, like saying hi. Okay, that's not necessarily your character. Okay, that's like your personality. Okay, so I look at personality something of more of a shallow, and a character something of a deeper nature. Okay, the character of God, okay, is born within you because it takes place at the furthest of the roots, okay, of who you are, and it begins to develop a perspective and a temperament in you that you didn't have before. Okay, but a personality is something that people easily can adapt to. You're just adapting to your environment. Okay, a personality. Okay, you're adapting to your environment there. It's like when you jump into cold water, okay, you have immediate response to that, right? Okay, in order to release the Okay, more to subside the pain, you kind of give a nice shout, right? Okay. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Now here we have a temperament being born. A temperament of patience, afflictions and necessities and distresses. Okay, because the revelation of God, okay, when it impacts the soul, begins to take deep root within you because you're nurturing it. Okay, you're responding to it. You're not pushing it away. Okay, as concerning offense. Okay, a lot of people will push the grace of God away out of fear. Okay, but we live by grace. Okay, because the grace of God does challenge. Okay, it challenges your particular sentiments about God. Okay, and there's another word for that called endearment. Okay, the grace of God is His endearment towards us. Okay, and it's for the purpose of drawing us into a relationship with Himself. Okay, and the endearment, of course, has to do with that which He reveals, or the dreams, visions, words of knowledge. Okay, or in regarding the process of the anointing within you is also like as terms of endearment, grace, covenant, terms of endearment. Okay, and it begins with patience. Okay, here, because through faith and patience we inherit the promises. We also see the contradiction emerging right here too. Remember, we talked about the contradiction. Okay, the suffering, grace and suffering, grace and faith, grace and peace, grace and truth. Okay, grace and suffering right here. Okay, which is the mold which you're being poured into. Okay, the mold. Okay, you don't, when you pour plaster into a mold. Okay, yeah, the plaster is taking the figure of the mold. Okay, but the mold is not what you're really looking for. Okay, what you're looking for. Okay, is the image of it. Okay. And suffering is important at this present time because it's providing that resistance, whereas you have to make an application. You have to apply yourself. Okay, you have to make your way to the altar. Okay, there's an application that's involved here. Okay, and as you continue to make your presence known to God at this altar, okay, then that plaster that's poured within the mold begins to take form, harden. Okay. It also gets warm, like that. It also gets warm, and also that's the way your sentiments towards God also becomes warm. You begin to warm up to Him, okay, in this relationship. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, okay, as the Apostle Paul is bringing out right here, so that we, as we endure these things, okay, and in the contradiction, because Jesus endured a contradiction to provide a record for this, in patience, much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Okay, so now we can see the resistance coming in. Okay, patience is concerning the fruit bearing. Okay, because by faith and patience you enter into your rest. Through patience, faith and patience, you enter into your rest. Okay, so you're reciprocating this counsel of grace. Okay, and you're enduring. Okay, until the time of. Okay, your promise, when the time of the promise is manifested, your rest. And patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses and stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings. Okay, you can see the process in this. But look what's being birthed out of this. Look at verse 6. Revelation, resistance, reward. Revelation, resistance, reward. Now, when the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, came and settled upon Jesus, okay, as we see, it was testified of John. He saw it. Jesus saw it. The people saw it. Okay, they saw the Spirit descending from heaven as a dove. Okay, that revelation, okay, was given to him. It was a visual revelation, and it was also not only a visual revelation, but also an oracle was spoken. He heard the voice of God. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And then was Jesus led up the Spirit into wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay, so we see revelation. Okay, now he's in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. Okay, and resistance, stripes, necessities, afflictions. Okay, he was, after 40 days, 40 nights, he was a hungered. Okay, so let's read that. Afflictions, just a necessity. He was hungry, he had necessity. Distresses. Okay, and being out there in the wilderness, stripes and imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings and fastings. Okay, so we're seeing Jesus taken into the wilderness, right? But look what happened. Okay, at the conclusion of that, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering. Now we see a birth coming forth. Okay, so here Jesus did not receive the grace of God in vain, though he endured to provide this record. Okay, for a pattern of our faith, revelation, resistance, reward. Revelation, resistance, reward. Okay, the resistance part we do not like, but we love the wages. Okay, we love the wages. Okay, the reward comes. Okay, but look, so when the reward comes, look what we see here. Pureness, the state of the conscience. Okay, knowledge. Okay, you're increasing. Long suffering. There's a fruit. Okay, long suffering. Kindness. By the Holy Ghost, by love and faith. Okay, so we see how it was initiated with faith and by it's completed through charity, because charity is a distributing factor of all these other virtues, being born with the power of the Spirit. They, through these cycles of growth, is birthing, okay, these things. So you did not receive the grace of God in vain. It came through full cycle in its season. Okay, so we're laboring together with him. Okay, let's look at verse 7 here. Okay, by the word of truth. Okay, so knowledge is necessary because this knowledge helps us to define. Okay, what's happening here? Okay, we have, so the knowledge, like an instruction book, okay, is teaching us concerning the mechanisms and the mechanics of this kingdom. Okay, it's an environment. It's an environment. Okay, when an animal is put within the environment that favors its survival, okay, it then survives. Okay, as long as there's water, you're going to have fish. But when the water is gone, the fish disappear. Okay, so when the pond is dry, okay, you can see the wildlife, okay, is absent from it. But when the pond is full, okay, suddenly wildlife begins to spring up. Okay, it becomes an environment that's favorable for your survival. Okay, so the knowledge of God provides us, okay, these things, okay, which helps us to understand why this environment is necessary. Okay, why this environment is necessary. Okay, same thing with the greenhouse. Not that it's the color green, but the greenhouse where plants, okay, are put within an environment that is like a controlled environment. Okay, like it's concerning moisture, heat, sunlight. Okay, we're also in a favored environment, okay, called the assembly. Okay, whereas the knowledge is present, okay, the charity is abounding one toward another. Okay, and because of this right here, the sufferings that we're all going through the week, okay, begin to take like a second fiddle. Okay, it's not as oppressive, okay, in the environment. Okay? But in the environment we're at, okay, the challenges are being presented, and the knowledge is helping us to understand. It's providing us a map. Okay, that what you're experiencing at this present time is not the end of your life. Okay, it's only the door to enter into it. It's not the end, it's the door to enter into it. Okay. So by the word of truth, okay, the knowledge, and the truth, okay, is this knowledge that helps to define what our faith is and what we're going through. And look what else he says right here. By the word of truth, by the power of God, the divine nature, the divine spirit for the divine nature. Okay, so you're taking on Christ. You're putting on Christ. Okay, and you're putting on Christ because you're also dying. Okay, you're dying to the things of this world. Okay, it's the death that's the scary part, but the life is the glorious part. Death is the scary part of it, right? None of us like that. Okay. So the Apostle Paul also brings the same thing out, okay, that the rewards which God has provided for us is far exceeds that of the present suffering, okay, the temporary things that we're going through. Because the flesh is restricted, okay, and we're also restricted by time. We're restricted by need, okay. Yet the power of God, and that's what he's talking about right here in verse 7, the power of God, okay, being present, nurtures eternal things within you, okay, so that we don't behold, okay, or we don't become depressed by the limited things or temporal things, but we can see the joy of the Lord in eternal things, okay, which has to do with the expected outcome of the joy of the Lord, okay, that my joy might be fulfilled within you, Jesus said to his apostles, and that your joy will be fulfilled. Okay, my joy. You know, what was Jesus speaking of when he talks about my joy? The pattern which I'm going through is a pattern of suffering. Okay, when I hang that cross, it's going to be painful. I know that because I designed the body. Okay, and I designed the body. Okay, within. Okay, for this purpose. Okay, for the purpose of birthing within you, okay, a kingdom that far exceeds that which your carnal eye can see. Okay, the baptism of light. Okay, a kingdom without restriction, a kingdom without oppression, a kingdom without a contradiction. Okay, but a kingdom of great joy, pleasures forevermore. That's what the psalmist said. And you see, in your presence, we have pleasure forevermore. In your presence, when we walk into that light, okay, we're walking into a new kingdom, okay, of freedom, okay, freedom of expression, okay, and the design which Christ and the design and powers which God put within you, okay, have no contradiction attached to it. No death is attached to it. Okay, but right now, okay, we suffer for the presence of death. Okay, so in verse 7 again, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, okay, and these are things which God has assigned to us, armor of righteousness, okay, a standard which we recognize on the left hand, on the right hand, and on the left. Okay, it shows, which shows also a unity, okay, on the right hand and left, okay, whereas soldiers that are shoulder to shoulder, and like that movie, the 300, okay, you notice the Spartans, he says, our greatest strength, okay, is in the phalanx, if I'm saying it right. Okay, whereas we're shoulder to shoulder together, okay, and our shields become a wall, okay, and we're able to resist, okay, the onslaught of the enemy, okay. So on the right hand and left, okay, being bound together with charity, okay, we can resist and overcome. Okay, we work together. Okay, work together. So the grace which I receive benefits you, the grace you receive benefits me, and we have, of course, the prophetic path up there. We all benefit one another. By the word of truth, by the power of God, okay, which, of course, he's nurturing within us, and which is the witness. So we see the record and the witness. Okay, the record, which the truth identifies, and the power which sustains us, to sustain it. Okay, the witness and the record coming together, and our reward. Okay. By the armor of righteousness in the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor. Okay, see this in verse 8 right here. Okay, the Apostle Paul says, okay, this is where we stand. Okay, we stand actually in two worlds. Okay, because our flesh is bound to this dimension right here. Okay, we have to be mindful of its needs. But our soul is bound to another kingdom which is invisible and eternal. Okay, so we have to be constantly aware of our faith. Okay, we're in two kingdoms, so even though we're bound within this dimension with need, okay, yet we live by the power of God. Okay? We live by the other perspective, and God knows this. This is what Jesus taught his apostles. Okay, when I sent you forth, okay, with these things, with scrip and with staff and okay and shoes and two coats and shoes on your feet, there, did you lack anything? Okay, and of course, my response to that says, yeah, I lacked my coat, and I lacked my shoes, and I lacked the other staff. Okay, but Jesus says, no, you didn't lack a thing, did you? Okay, because I was teaching you to live by my word. Okay, this is what he's teaching the apostles. When I sent you forth, I sent you forth. Now, he sent them forth on more than one occasion. But the first time he sent them out, he sent them with certain limitations. Okay, he said, what Jesus was teaching is this, my angel is going to go before you. My angel is going to prepare places for you. You're going to be knocking on doors. Okay? Those that receive you will be the ones that I want you enter in, and you say, my blessing, the God's blessing be on this place, having received me. If you receive your word, my blessing will remain there. Okay? Clemency will be there. Okay? And how do you know it's that? Because they'll have a heart of faith. You had a heart of faith. But if their heart is hardened, okay, then shake off the dust of your feet when you walk out of that town. They shake off the dust from your feet there. It's going to be a witness against them. Dust to dust. Okay, being carnal, they'll return to the dust. They'll be empty. All right, well, let's go on here. By honor and dishonor. Okay, honor among the righteous, dishonor among the sinners. By evil report, by the false brethren, by good report of those of faith. As deceivers, by the false Christians, yet true as concerning we carry the origin of faith within us. The origin, the original pattern remains within us, the origin. Our Father. As unknown to those which are outside of God's kingdom, yet well known to those which are inside. As dying, and behold, we live. Here's a direct contradiction. As dying, and behold, we live. Okay, as dying, which means you're during the process of each season. Okay, the process, through each season, the trees get larger. You know, it's interesting that I was watching the trees grow in our backyard. Okay, at first, you know, as I mow the lawn, there's no trees out there. Okay, then I says, well, I'm going to section off this part of the lawn right here, and I'm going to let it grow wild. Okay, because there's rabbits or wild rabbits out there. So I'm going to let this grow wild. Of course, the rabbits would come around. Okay, so I was watching it, and I was watching it grow. Okay, one year you saw, in the spring you saw it sprouting up a little bit. Okay, within a few years, within 5 years, okay, that which came out of the ground was that large around. Okay, that was a tree. It became a tree out there. Okay. It's the same thing through our growth. As unknown yet well known as dying, and behold, we live. Okay, so the Lord removes in order for you to grow. Okay, as dying. So here, that's what I was talking about. It's concerning dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. You highlight the word chastened there. Okay, and not killed. Okay, this is what the grace of God begets. It begets these things within our conscience and also within our character. So as not to transgress against God, nor one another, or yourself. Okay, so we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as yourself. We're keeping of these two commandments. Okay, so that we don't transgress against God, we don't transgress against our brother, nor we transgress against ourselves. We love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay. So we're allowing these things to nurture within us. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul, okay, is bringing to our attention the contradiction, okay, that we're enduring and how we're dying. Okay, how we're dying as by honor and dishonor, honor in God's kingdom, but dishonor by man. Okay, because man only honors the aspiration; he doesn't honor your faith. Because sinners do not understand the value of faith, that which God greatly honors. Okay, sinners despise; they don't see any value in it. Okay, they do see value though in religious education. Okay, they do see value in that. Okay, and that's why they make allowances of that, even universities. Okay, they call it religious education. You can take numerous topics about religion. Okay, from the mantra. Of certain trances and certain Indian gods that pursuing. There's one that was really popular. Hare Krishna, was a real popular mantra and person. He was a real person there, for that period of time. Okay, and you can see the people dressed in orange gowns there, at airports. It was very popular at that period of time. Okay, in fact, I think it was a song was made about him. I think, who made that song? When the Beatles. Yeah, when the Beatles there. Okay, made it popular. He popularized it. Okay, through that particular song. Was it Paul McCartney?
George Harrison.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Yeah, he popularized it. Okay. Well, every time I heard on radio, I would think about something else. I would think about the Lord. Okay, but I wasn't looking at his perspective from the other perspective. Okay, on that. But anyway, go on here. So by honor, by dishonor. Okay, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 here, verse 8. All right. So we can see a contradiction exists. Okay, an honor of life, dishonor and death. Okay, that which is of faith, that which is the aspiration. So here the Apostle Paul is making distinctions here. Okay, but that which is of faith is greatly honored, okay, but is dishonored of the world. Okay, that which is of faith, okay, among the sinners and false brethren has an evil report, but that which is of the saints is a good report. Okay, that which is brings equity and pleasure of faith. As deceivers, okay, on the negative side, by the false Christians and yet true, because concerning those which have the original pattern of faith. Okay, as unknown, okay, and yet well known, as dying, okay, to the aspirations, and behold, we live concerning our faith, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, being poor in pride, and yet making many rich in this knowledge, Paul says in verse 10, as having nothing, okay, having nothing in the boast, yet possessing all things in charity, having nothing in the boast. Okay, a boast means nothing, okay, but charity means all things to the righteous. The boast means nothing. Okay, we talked about that earlier. There's a difference between character and personality. Okay, personality is you see this a lot in Hollywood type people. Okay, a very lively, talky, okay, in everyone's faith personality. Okay, meaningless. Okay, it's very shallow and it passes. But character is something that is of a deep grooming. Okay, and this is what God does within us. Okay, removing the barnacles and polishing. Okay, polishing your character. God polishes your character. Okay, He makes you a new person. Okay, but the person that's emerging carries with it a temperament. Okay, that is not founded, okay, within the kingdom of darkness. It's a new temperament. Okay, a temperament of faith. Okay, so faith and through faith and charity, you're birthing all these things within you by these powers. Okay, which God rewards you with in your dreams. Okay. God rewards you with words of knowledge. God rewards you with in your visions. Okay. And sorrowful yet always rejoicing. So you can see the contradiction is being present. Grace and faith. We've read about that. Grace and truth. Grace and peace. Now grace and suffering. Maybe we see all these things up here. Okay. Of how this temperament is being born within you. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing, yet making many rich. Okay, as poor in pride, yet making many rich in knowledge. As having nothing concerning the boast of man, the aspiration of this world, yet possessing all things. Okay, this is what we're living for. Okay, so he's talking about what he means by as dying and yet living. O you Corinthians, okay, and he says, our mouth is open unto you. Now the reason why he sucks the word mouth is because it's the breath of life. When God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. And this knowledge being living is what is God is breathing within your heart right now. Okay? So all you Corinthians, he's breathing on you. Paul's breathing on you. Breathing on you. Our mouth is open unto you, breathing the breath of life with this knowledge. Okay? That's why Jesus breathed on his apostles. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Okay? Okay? You, as I breathe the breath of life in Adam, he became a living soul, so I breathe on you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Okay? Allow this knowledge to take root within you, and you'll be born again. Okay? So, O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Might want to highlight the word enlargement of heart. Okay. So, as the breath of life, okay, through this knowledge, as the breath of life, okay, it comes this exhortation, edification, exhortation, and comfort through this grace and this blessing. So, our heart is enlarged. Okay, it increases the capacity of the soul. Okay, the power increases. So I like the word enlarge. Draw a line from the word enlarge to the word power of God in verse 7. Okay, verse 7, power of God. By the word of truth, by the power. To the word enlarge. Okay, the enlarging of the heart. Okay, your soul, as the new heavens, new earth, is enlarging. When God creates new heavens, new earth, okay, we're going to see the seed, the holy city. The holy city, New Jerusalem, is the womb, okay, in which it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. Okay, because we as kings and holy ones will bring the substance, okay, the substance of his power within that holy city, and we'll be nurturing it, okay, like a nursing mother. Okay, we'll be nurturing it, and it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. Okay, so that the size of the earth, okay, like the size of an egg is going to increase, okay, to the capacity of the size of the universe and beyond. The praise is going to be reflective of his work within us. These powers within us can be reflective. So that the holy city, the light of the holy city, is the righteousness of the saints. You see the connection there. The mating, the connection there. So our heart is enlarged by these powers. Okay. So these powers carry an effect upon the soul. So that each cycle of growth, okay, they're initiating the powers of peace, the powers of mercy, okay, the powers of meekness, the powers of gentleness, okay, the powers of long-suffering, the powers of patience, the multiplication of your faith and charity is by these powers. Okay, these are the seven spirits of God, okay, which of course being created in his image and likeness, okay, are also reproducing and increasing within you. Okay? And God, this is why God set the pattern, okay, in things which are visible and invisible. Okay, The visible, which has to do with the gender, okay, the gender which we are, okay, the gender which you are, and the invisible has to do with this mystery which God sealed right within you, okay, it preaches Christ, okay, it preaches Christ. This is what God takes pleasure in. By the power of God, and your heart is enlarged. So I highlight the word enlarged, and I also highlight the word power of God from verse 7 to verse 11. Now, you are not straightening us. Okay, in other words, we are not the ones that are bridling you. Okay, what's bridling you right now has to do with the restrictions that God has set upon you. Okay? The Comforter, being the Holy Ghost, is working within the parameters of these restrictions, okay, in order to produce life within you. Okay, to produce life within you. Okay, so there's a time element upon a womb bearing a child. There's a time element on that called 9 months. Okay, after that, when the child is released, okay, there's no more a time element on this design, isn't it? It just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Okay, and that's the same thing what God does within us. Right now, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, has an assigned time, okay, of regeneration. But once it's been completed, you're out of the womb. When you're out of the womb, there is no stopping. Okay, you grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Okay, and you're not straight in us, but you're straight in your own bowels, he brings right here. You're not straight in us, he says. Because what he's talking says, you have to work out your salvation, you must work with his grace. Okay, and you don't want to undermine his work, okay, by doubt. Don't undermine it. Work with it. Okay, stay at the altar. Okay, now for recompense. If you want to truly receive your wages, now for recompense in the same, okay, as I speak as unto my children. See the word children there? Okay, we talked about that. Remember, from the womb, okay, as if you're already outside. Okay, but yet, okay, that's your goal. You're in the stages of development. In the early stages of development, it's very difficult to identify, distinguish between, okay, that which is of the, okay, in your very early stages, it's very difficult to distinguish between, okay, that of a bird, okay, or a bird, I forgot what you call it there, and that which is a human. Okay, when I went to Henry Ford Museum there in Michigan, okay, they had different stages of growth. Okay, and when a baby, the first week,
embryo,
yes, that's what we're looking for, embryo. In the first week of the embryo, okay, the embryo of a human looks very similar to that of the embryo of a bird. And I says, wow, that's pretty fascinating. But that doesn't mean we came from birds. Okay, not at all, you know. Okay, and that's the same thing with a Christian. When a person first comes in a covenant, the distinguishing factor, okay, is very difficult to identify. The embryos look alike. Okay, but what happens the next week? All right, there's certain changes start coming out, doesn't it? Next week. Okay, so through your each cycle of your growth, as your heart is also being enlarged, okay, you can say, God's likeness within you starts to take on his likeness, okay, in that temperament. Okay, it starts to be, it's birthing, and the temperament starts to be seen. Okay. Now for a recompense in the same. As I speak unto my children, be you also enlarged. There's the word enlarged again. Okay, in other words, feast abundantly, okay, and mate with faith. Mate with faith. Feast abundantly, mate with faith. Okay, be you also enlarged. Okay. Well, now we have a little precaution right here in verse 14. But he says, be you also enlarged, but you better be careful who you hook up with. Okay? Be careful of the elements. Be you also enlarged, but be careful who you hook up with. Okay, and regarding fellowship and relationship at the altar. Be careful whose altar you're attending. Say 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Okay, if you attend the altar of Baal, you're hooking up with the wrong point of contact. Okay, that means the universal religious system. Okay, the powers which God gives you, it has a non-functionality in the false religious system. It lies dormant. Okay, and you have a stillbirth or stillborn. Okay. Alright, in other words, the grace of God will then be received in vain. Okay. But if you're at the proper altar, okay, then you're not receiving the grace of God in vain. Okay, you're gonna go through full term, okay, in this. Right, now for a recompense of the same, verse 13, I speak as unto my children, you that have been born through this form of engagement, be you also enlarged at this altar, feast abundantly, okay, but watch who you mate with. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Ah, there we go. Don't go to Baal's altar. Okay, so choose wisely, okay, your mate. Okay, and we see the same thing in the book of Isaiah. Okay, none wants her mate. Okay, and Isaiah speaking about as concerning the altar of Baal. The altar of Baal does not produce, okay, God's likeness. Okay, it produces confusion. So the prophet Isaiah said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, if they do not confirm the terms of this covenant nor the promises of the fathers, it's because there's no light in them. See, they went to the wrong altar. They were nurturing the wrong spirit. Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14.
Good morning.
So be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, for what fellowship, there's that word there. Okay, relationship always begins with fellowship. Okay, and at the altar of Christ. Okay, this is where it begins, the altar of Christ. So be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Watch what altar you embrace. If you embrace the altar of Baal, you're going to have inequities in your perception. Okay, you're going to have a lot of leavened bread laying around. Okay, a lot of fast food. You have a lot of fast food Christians. Okay, instead of eating the food of the altar, the unleavened bread of the altar, okay, you have a lot of fast food Christians. They only want to engage in God for the purpose of the aspiration. Okay, so they put a lot of ketchup on it. And he says, wait a minute, you can't put ketchup on that. Okay, that's, you can't do that. You can sprinkle frankincense on it because it was so required, but you go putting ketchup and mustard on it and make it into, a fast food restaurant right there, you're using the grace of God in vain. Okay, so be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, we talked about the mating season, as Paul brings out here. We then as workers together with him, in verse 1, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Okay. So we talked about earlier, just a recap just for a second, we talked about the three R's, revelation, resistance, reward. Okay, we also talked, and through this process we see how the record of Jesus, okay, emerged for our faith to be joined to it. Okay, how the record of Jesus emerged for our faith to be joined to it when he came up out of the water. Okay, and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Okay, Jesus was already establishing at that point a record for our faith. Okay, from the revelation to resistance of the desert to reward the angels ministering to him. Okay, there was a form of contact. Okay, a mating season began. From that point on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began to sow knowledge to the Jewish people. Okay, that were sitting in darkness, that they were now come out, and that this is the season now for mating. The kingdom of God is at hand. Okay. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Nothing. Okay. There is no communion, okay, between these two kingdoms. What communion has light with darkness? This is how Paul views it. Between the altar of Jehovah and the altar of Baal. Okay. There is no communion. Okay. One is sanctified, the other isn't. The one is by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but the other is by the aspiration of seducing spirits. Okay. But the similarities, okay, can trick the eye. Similarities can trick the eye. Okay, that person's carrying a Bible and that person's carrying a Bible. That person's going to church, that person's going to church. Okay. That person's wearing a robe and that person's going in there listening to the choir, and this person's also, okay, is wearing a robe of righteousness. Okay, to the eye, to the carnal eye, there's no distinction. Okay, but to the ear that's been circumcised, there's a big difference. Okay, there's a big difference. Okay, because one is charity, the other one is nothing more than scriptural flattery. Scriptural flattery works with the aspiration, but charity works humbleness of mind and faith in your heart, doesn't it? Scriptural flattery. Okay, so what communion is light with darkness? Nothing. What concord, he says, has Christ with Belial? Okay, because each bears their own kind. Okay, the kingdom of God, okay, births children after their kind, and the kingdom of Satan births children after his kind, the beast, called the beast. What part has he that believes with an infidel? Can you trust yourself to that care and find equity with an infidel? No, you can't.
And that reminds me of that scripture, I think in Amos, where it says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what agreement? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Nothing. What he's talking about right here, he's making distinction concerning the mating. We talked about that earlier right here. For you are the temple of the living God. Okay, because you're not receiving the grace of God in vain. The grace of God upon receiving these things is fighting full cycle. Okay, and you're bringing forth that temperament and character of Christ. Okay, earlier we talked about the difference between character and personality. Okay, a personality is very shallow, but a character has to do with the root, okay, of who you are. Okay, as God has said, I will dwell in them. Is that verse 16? I will dwell in them. In other words, when the seed meets the egg, there's going to be development and you're going to come alive. When the seed meets the egg, I will dwell in them. That's what he's saying. I will dwell in them. Okay, and when I dwell in them, they're going to come alive. I will dwell in them and walk in them. Okay, I will live in them, okay, at this altar. Okay, the altar of the womb, and I will strengthen the bones and give you my name and my likeness. Okay, and we see this also in the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, the mysteries of God. How do the bones form in the womb? Okay, by the power of God. That's how they form in the womb, by the power of God. Okay, so God is developing his likeness within you, okay, through your cooperation and nourishment. For you are the temple of God, the living God. Okay, a place or a house. Okay, a house. We'll be talking about a house here. Like a house. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, develop and come alive, and walk in them, okay, at this altar. Okay, and I will be their God. Because in the womb here, I'm going to strengthen the bones. I'm going to give you form. Okay, I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to give you my likeness, and they shall be my people. They shall be my people. They carry my name now. Wherefore, look in verse 17, come out from among them. That's the house of El. You have to be separated from that kingdom, from that spirit, from that influence, from that altar, okay, and from the flattery of that system. You cannot engage yourself with that. I mean, you can't build with it. Now, you're going to be confronting it, but you're not building with it. Jesus confronted the Pharisees, but he did not build with their perception, because he says, you Pharisees are the devil. Okay. Wherefore come out from among them? You have to know what direction to take, and here we can see only the stewardship can help you there. That's why he says in chapter, in verse 1 here, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we then as workers together with him. It takes the stewardship to give you this direction, and he has to assign you that priesthood to help you understand the value of the priesthood. Okay, so the Lord then now claims you for himself by the Holy Ghost, which he's engrafted within you. Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not. Here's that word touch. Okay, touch not the unclean thing. Okay. Be careful who you choose as a mate. Regarding your altar. Regarding your altar.
Okay. It reminds me of that scripture in Colossians where it says, touch not things, not handle
them. In Colossians, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. You cannot utilize the tokens of spoilage. Okay, we only recognize the eternal tokens, right? The invisible. Okay, imperishable tokens, right? So wherefore come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, okay, and I will receive you. So God's right here talking, says, I'm going to bring division by my grace so that I can nurture you in my image. Okay, and here he says again, verse 18, this is a real good one, and I will be a father unto you. Okay, so we're talking about a family and a house. And you shall be my sons and my daughters and offspring, carrying my likeness, my character, and my temperament, saith the Lord, saith the Lord Almighty. So I'm grooming you for my inheritance by these scenarios, so that you're going to through this adoption, okay, you're going to be sons and daughters, sonship and heirship. That's what we have at the top of the model over there. We got heirship, sonship, and the praise of His glory. In the praise and the glory of His grace. That's the very peak there, the crown of the stem of this tree over there. We have H1, heirship, S3, sonship, and P1, which has to do with the praise and the glory of His grace. Okay, that's the results of the seed right here, the mystery, the assembly. The mystery and the assembly. See, the letter A, the capital letter A following the border there, okay, has to do with the environment, the assembly, Okay, and of course the letter M means the mystery. Okay, and this is what God plants within you for sanctification of grace. It begins right here in the heart. The temple of the Holy Ghost.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.